First Peter chapter 5 and verse number 4. First Peter 5 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Amen. What a promise. When the chief shepherd shall appear. Don't say he might appear, or hope he appears, but when the chief shepherd shall appear. Jesus Christ is going to appear again someday. He has the title here of being the chief shepherd. That means the shepherd over all the shepherds. Kind of like in the army. There's a lot of commanders in the army or the Marines or whatever you are in, but there's just one chief, right? Who's that? The president. Hail to the chief. You know, they play that whenever he gets off the air, helicopter. He's the chief commander. There's a whole bunch of commanders under him. Same thing in God's work. There is one chief shepherd, a bunch of shepherds under him. We call them pastors, elders, whatever. But Jesus is the chief shepherd. Make sure he's the chief shepherd of your life, number one. You know, we're all following somebody. Every one of us is following somebody. Let's not kid each other. And it's usually our peers or the world, you know, or the influence of Hollywood or some philosophy or some religion or something. Brethren, our chief shepherd needs to be Jesus Christ. He's the one we need to be following. And he needs to be first and foremost. And I want to look at that picture of Christ tonight as the shepherd, as we've been studying these flyers that we have around the church. And this one's an old one. This one's called the Good Shepherd. And most of the flyers that we have studied, all of them to this point, I wrote. But as you notice, as you go through this, there's no writing in it. It's just scripture. And so I can't claim any ownership of that. It's all from the Lord. I put the little titles in and a little prayer for salvation. And Elizabeth Clefane, we borrowed one of her poems and put that in the back. So this flyer is a little bit different. I'm not claiming that I wrote this, just some of the titles. And I just kind of put this theme of a shepherd in order. And I hope you catch on to the order tonight. I hope Jesus is your chief shepherd. And the neat thing about this is not only is he our chief shepherd, but he's a good one. Amen. He's the good shepherd. And not all shepherds are good. Not all pastors are good. In fact, Ezekiel, I think it was Jeremiah once said, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. That's what God said. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. And there are many, many pastors who have been wolves in sheep's clothing or maybe just flat out lazy or worldly or carnal or in it for the money. They're hirelings. They're not really shepherds. And I have to always work on myself too. I want to be a good shepherd. But Jesus is the good shepherd. Thank God he's the chief shepherd. And our chief shepherd is a good one. He's a good one. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And so we're going to look at this theme. There's different themes that go through the Bible portraying God in different ways. There's a theme of God as a redeemer from the front cover of the Bible to the back cover of the Bible. There's a theme of God as a judge from the front cover of the Bible to the back of the Bible. And there's different themes where God shows himself in different lights for us to understand his being. And one of those themes from the front cover of the Bible to the end is that of a shepherd. That of a shepherd. And we certainly can enjoy this one because he is a good shepherd and we are his sheep. This flyer here is a redo of a flyer that I wrote years and years ago that I wanted something that I could give away when I went to hospitals and nursing homes. And we had all kinds of tracts and everything about salvation. And a lot of the people you were going to see, I was going to see, were saved already. Or you weren't sure and you didn't want to be too heavy on them while they're laying in the hospital bed or nursing home bed. And I wanted to get something that was just scripture. There's power in the Word of God. And that portrayed God, I think, the way that somebody maybe in a nursing home needs to see him. or somebody in a hospital needs to see him. And this thought of the Good Shepherd came to me, and so I just scoured the Bible for all kinds of verses on that theme of God being a shepherd and we being his sheep. And this was the end result of that. I remember back in 1978, I was stationed in Augsburg, Germany, when I was in the army, and right out of outside of our Kaserne, which was the German word for a camp or a fortress or something, there was a big field. I was in a little town called Gablingen, which was near Augsburg, near Munich, whatever, if you know anything about Germany, it's down in the southern part called Bavaria. And just a lot of hills, a lot of fields, a lot of mountains. And just it just so happened that the 6 months that I was there at TDY working at that concern, right outside of our fence was a shepherd. And so many times I looked out there and I saw that German shepherd in his German attire with his crook and his big flock of sheep around him, and his German shepherds running circles around him, biting at the heels of everyone that was getting out of line, trying to get him back in the line, and how he'd take them different places. I had no idea at the time I'd be a pastor. I wish I had paid more attention to what he was doing, but it was fascinating to watch this shepherd. And when you think of shepherds, probably the first word that just comes into your mind is gentleness. Gentleness. David said once, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he also said, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." And God could have been hard on David. There were a few incidents in his life where God could have brought the hammer down on him, but he didn't. And God was very gentle to him, and because God was a gentle shepherd to David, it says, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." David became one of the greatest men in all of not only religious history, but human history, because God gently led him. And so, as we see what God does for us through this flyer and how he leads us, let us also remember as we go through this tonight that every one of us is a shepherd. If you have one person following you, you're a leader. If you just have one person following you, you're a leader. You're a shepherd. Every father is a shepherd of his home. Every man is a shepherd of all the boys around him. Every woman is a shepherd of all the girls around her. Every teenager is a shepherd of the little girls looking up to them. And you're leading them. No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. The Bible says that all of us are influencing others. So let's not just admire Christ tonight, the Good Shepherd, but let's also take truths out so we can become Christ-like and be good shepherds and make sure we care. Make sure we care about other people. I certainly appreciate Kaylee, but she's done a lot of work on this flyer over the last couple days, laying it out and working it, and I changed a lot of things. But let's get into the flyer here. Let's just see some things. We'll read some scriptures here tonight and look up a few other scriptures and just kind of watch the trail we go down here with God as our shepherd. Notice, first of all, they're not numbered, but they're in bold print. Notice, we belong to God. We belong to God, and we belong to God in this picture, this relationship, this metaphor, this spiritual metaphor of a God being a shepherd and we being sheep. Psalm 103:100 and verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." Well, that's humbling, isn't it? You don't want to go around saying, "Well, I'm a self-made man." No, no, God made us what we are, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So we ought not to be proud. This thing about being compared to a sheep, that's not really something to get proud about. There's two outstanding characteristics about sheep. What are they? Number one, they're dumb, and number two, they're defenseless. They have absolutely no defensive mechanism whatsoever, none. A sheep does not defend itself, ever, and it's dumb. You can put a sheep on the backside of a barn that it has lived in all of its life, and it'll die out there and never find the front door. That's how stupid it is. Now you can put a pig out there, he'll find the front door. You put a cow out there, he'll find the front door. You put a horse out there, he'll find the front door. They've lived there all their life. You put a sheep behind the barn, they've lived in all their life. They're too dumb to walk around the front. And find they have to have somebody lead them back and in the front door. So this idea of us being sheep is not really one that boosts our pride. It's one that humbles us. Sheep are dumb. Sheep are defenseless. They're a defenseless bunch. They've got to have a shepherd there to defend them, or a farmer, or whatever. And so God sees us as we belong to him as sheep of his pasture. God sees us as lost sheep. Ezekiel 34:6 says, "My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." Notice that they're lost sheep. They're scattered sheep. They're wandering sheep upon every mountain, every high hill. They're out there. And they're dumb. I think it was Jim Evans telling me a story about a sheep that he saw. I forgot where he was. I don't know if it was in Canada or whatever. It fell over a cliff, and it was halfway down the cliff, somehow fell on a little ledge, and they had helicopters out there and everything trying to get this sheep up. And he said that he had to leave, though he never did see how it turned out. I don't know if it was him or somebody was telling me that story, because I was wondering, how'd that turn out? And he said, "I don't know, I had to leave." And they had this big rescue party going, "That dumb sheep." And they're just out there falling over cliffs and on the mountains, scattered. The Bible portrays us as scattered, as strayed. Notice third, we have strayed from the good shepherd. Isaiah 53, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is a prophecy. This is what it says, the Lord hath laid on him. We could paraphrase this, the Lord hath laid on Christ the iniquity of us all of our iniquities, all of our sins, our transgressions were laid upon Jesus Christ's body when he was crucified on a cross one day. We've, every one of us, have turned to our own way. We have all gone astray. And so the Lord sends out a shepherd, a bishop for our souls as Jesus Christ, who came to save us and to lead us. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 25, it says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Notice shepherd is capitalized S, bishop capitalized B. That word bishop means an overseer. Not only is he the leader of our souls, but he is the overseer of our souls. He is keeping an eye on our spiritual well-being. Turn a page, couple pages back to Hebrews 13 and verse number 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." Notice this statement now, "for they watch for your souls." That's the word bishop. And so sometimes pastors in the past have been called bishops. That is a proper biblical term for what a pastor has done. But praise God, Jesus is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's keeping an eye on us. He's trying to lead us. He's trying to guide us. He is our overseer. He gives us under shepherds and under bishops, pastors who are also watching for our souls. And the Bible says, and we need to obey them that have the rule over us and submit ourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Someday the shepherd will give an account for the flock that he is trying to feed and the flock that he is trying to lead. And you will too, for your little flock, that little group of people on this earth that you have influence over, maybe as a mother or father or grandma or grandpa or something, or some kind of a leader or teacher, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. So we don't want to be a grief to God's leaders. We want to be a joy to them by following the Lord. Now the good shepherd has compassion on the lost sheep. Notice that in your flyer. It says, "But when he saw the multitudes," in Matthew 9:36, "he was moved with compassion." because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And it says he did not have compassion. It says he was moved with compassion. Never in the Bible, there's seven times where it says Jesus had compassion, but it is always preceded by the word move. Jesus never had compassion on somebody who did nothing. He was always moved with compassion. It's a fascinating study for you to go home, get your concordance out, and look at every time he was moved with compassion and the seven different illustrations where he did something for seven different types of people. Fascinating. So it's not enough to have compassion. We have to be moved with compassion. He saw people as sheep who were scattered, having no shepherd. And so what did he say? I got to do something for them. I'm going to lead them. And how did he lead them? How did he lead them? Well, one way is found in Mark, the same verse. I'll read this for you, Mark. You can write it down. Mark 6:34 says this. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep having not a shepherd. Now listen to this. Here's what he did. And he began to teach them many things. One of the best things you can do to help somebody is to teach them many things. Be a mentor to them. And I'm telling you, whatever you know, not just in the spiritual realm, but in life. If you know finances, teach it to other people. If you know plumbing, teach it to other people. If you know electric, teach it to them. If you know mechanics, teach it to them. You know what happens when people are taught a lot of things by mentors who are over them? It gives them peace in life. They know what to do. If you know about marriage, teach those that are unmarried about marriage. And in teaching them, you are shepherding them. It says he was moved with compassion. They were scattered, but he taught them many things. You know what we need to do? We need to plant churches. We need to start congregations where people can get together and somebody can teach them many things. There's a lot of fathers who are clueless on how to raise kids. A lot of mothers are clueless on how to raise their children. But a lot of you have the knowledge that they need to know. You could teach them. They're clueless on how to get out of debt, how to handle their finances, how to set up a budget, how to fix a toilet. And you know, we ought to be a people that just teach them. It says Jesus taught them many things, many things. He didn't die with the knowledge buried in his breast somewhere. And he just shared everything he knew with people to try to help them with life so they would know what to do. That's what a good shepherd does. He has compassion on lost sheep, and he teaches them many things. That's how we lead adults. We don't go out in a pasture somewhere with a crook and say, follow me, and walk around. No, we're trying to make a spiritual metaphor. The way we lead other adults is we teach them many things. Wouldn't it be nice if all of our youth grew up and as they approached adulthood, they would know what to do. They would know how to have a good marriage. They would know how to be a good wife, a good husband. They would know how to raise kids when the kids start coming along. The good shepherd comes to find us. I'm on the next column. Ezekiel 34:11-12 says, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, God, will both search my sheep and seek them out. God's looking for us. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. God himself is the good shepherd. That's a great verse there on the deity of Jesus Christ. I'll seek my sheep. God personally comes out. Look, God is looking for you tonight. God is looking for you tonight. When Adam went astray, what did he do? He said, Adam, where art thou? He went looking for Adam. He went looking for Eve. We ought not to fear God. We ought not to run from his presence, but rather run into his presence. That's the safest place to be. And as the title of the flyer says next, Jesus is the good shepherd. He says simply, I am the good shepherd in John 10:11 and verse 14. Now here's something the good shepherd died for us. Remember David, when he was out watching sheep and a bear came and a lion came and he fought off the bear and killed it. He fought off the lion and killed it. The good shepherd is willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And that's what Jesus did. He's a good shepherd. Notice the contrast here. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling. He's in it for the money. He's maybe taking a temporary job or something. He's got all these sheep and the shepherd can't be there, and so he hires this guy. But the hireling doesn't care for the sheep. And when a wolf comes, he bolts. And the wolf devours some of the sheep. But not Jesus. He says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He's laying down his life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for us. And of course, he laid down his life for us, as we know, to save us. As the next verse is not about shepherding, but they point out this truth. Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I mean, he laid down his life for us, the ungodly, his sheep. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8, here's the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Christ didn't flee. Christ didn't flee. Christ stood right there. And when the devil came to devour us, Christ stood up for us. When sin came to condemn us, Christ stood up for us, and he fought for us. What a good shepherd he is. The good shepherd saves us. He didn't just die for us, but he saves us. John 10:9-10 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. The old sheepfolds were a big round fence with one door into it. Just one door. And he'd sit by that one door and he'd literally count his sheep as they went in at night and made sure every single one of them was there. And then he would lead them in and out of the sheepfold. He'd put them in safety when during dangerous times, and he would take them out to pasture so they could feed and be nourished and get strength. And he's the good shepherd. Jesus saves us. He's the door. That door is not church. It's not religion. It's not good works. It's Christ. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You know, Christ is your Savior tonight. Have you trusted in him? Do you know him as the shepherd and as the Savior and the only one door? If not, there's a prayer for salvation right there. Now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And call upon him, and he'll save you. Now, after we're saved, these points all led up to us being saved and how we were lost sheep. Christ had compassion on us. Christ went looking for us. Christ brought us back. Christ saved us. Now, after we're saved, notice the good shepherd rejoices when he finds his sheep. You can read the text there in Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. But when he comes back with the sheep that he found, he had 99 sheep. But one was lost, and he went out and found it, laid it on his shoulders, came back rejoicing. That's an interesting study to do. Take the word rejoice and find out what it was that made Christ rejoice. About the only thing you'll find in the New Testament is when a soul gets saved. And he says to his friends and neighbors, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. 99. Elizabeth Clefane wrote a famous poem. It's in your flyer in the back about the 99. I love this poem. It says, there were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills far away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains, wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road may be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransom ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring them back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through the mountains thunder driven and up from the rocky steep, there rose a glad cry to the gate of heaven. Rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Do you realize there was a time when Jesus Christ went out looking for you? And that was the day of your salvation. He went out looking for you. I would venture that almost every one of us in this room was saved on a different date. Maybe a couple of us were saved the same time, but most of us were saved on a different day than somebody else was. Isn't that fascinating? That the shepherd came looking for you. That was your day. He was looking for you to lay you on his shoulder so he could come back rejoicing, say, I found my sheep. And one by one, the Lord goes out looking for us. And then after he finds us and brings us back and rejoices, the next thing it says here is the good shepherd keeps the found ones forever. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So his sheep hear his voice. You remember that. It wasn't audible, but you remember the day the Lord spoke to you and about your need to be saved, and if not, you're probably not saved. He says, I give to them eternal life, they shall never perish. Now, after such a wonderful experience, the sheep should love the good shepherd. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. And I think this love is portrayed to us in Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7, when it says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. I think the psalmist is just trying to remember all that God had done for him. He was a lost sheep, once gone astray, and the shepherd came looking for him and brought him back safely into the fold and saved him. And he said, you know, we ought to worship the Lord for that and bow down. I mean, if God never did another thing for you as long as you existed, that's something that you should worship God for every day of your life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, for bringing me back and coming out and looking for me one time. I hope your salvation experience is precious to you. Let's look at the final column here. I want you to notice a couple more things in closing. The good shepherd leads his sheep. Probably the greatest prose or poetry that's ever been written in human history has been the 23rd Psalm. It's probably the zenith, probably the pinnacle, probably the epitome of the English language. There's probably nothing more beautiful on this earth in writing than the 23rd Psalm. I know nothing it's equal. I have read this text at dozens and I don't know how many funerals. And just seen the power of God fall upon some of the most hardened sinners. The 23rd Psalm, which teaches us the good shepherd leads his sheep. Oh, it ought to be committed to memory. It's never improved on. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What depths! I mean, I've heard so many preachers preach on this, almost in frustration, trying to put into human words the depths of this six verses. Volumes of books have been written just on these six verses, and nobody's come close. To really explaining how precious it is to be led by the shepherd. Through everything in life here, good times, bad times, the Lord is our shepherd. He makes us do this. He leads us here. He restores us here. Even through death, he's with us. I don't have to fear evil. He comforts us. He prepares a table before us. He anoints us. He follows us all the days of our life, his goodness and mercy. And then we'll be with him forever. What a precious text. You know, this is even a text that most new translations don't want to mess with. They can't improve on it. Can't improve on any of it, but this one especially. The good shepherd leads his sheep. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh, what an example. Talk about Christ-likeness. Boy, you fathers, you need to gently lead those that are with young. Gently lead. Lead your boys gently. Lead your girls gently. I know there's times where you got to have discipline. I understand that. But lead your children gently. Be gentle with your children. You'll never regret that. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct thy paths. You understand it? Turn in closing to Psalm 48 and verse 14. This is not on your flyer. This picture, this metaphor tonight of God being a shepherd, we being sheep. How long can this go on? Now look at this, Psalm 48 and verse 14. This idea of him being a shepherd, leading us, guiding us. Look at the answer to this question in Psalm 48, 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. Notice this now. He will be our guide even unto death. Any of you dead yet? All right, what a promise. God cannot lie. It is impossible that God should lie. And there's not a person in this room who has to fear their future. God will guide you until the moment of your death. He'll tell you what to do. He will tell you what. We do not have to be filled with fear as we face our future. Psalm 73:24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. We need to repent of some of this worrying we're doing. We need to repent of some of this fretting we're doing. We need to repent of some of this fear we're having about the future or about our old age or about who will take care of us. We need to have some old-fashioned repentance about this. He will be our guide even unto death. That means a child that's here, a teenager that's here in this room today, you can start walking with God today, and he'll never fail you a day of your life till you die, leading you and guiding you. That's what we mean tonight. He is the good shepherd, the real good shepherd. And the last thing, our part, is the sheep serve the good shepherd. He's done all this so far for us. Now, what are we supposed to do for him? Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd. So we've seen tonight he's the chief shepherd, he's the good shepherd. Here he's that great shepherd. And I hope I've tried to make him look great tonight. A little bit anyways, as I've been trying to exalt him in this role. That great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, what? In every good work to do his will. We should serve the shepherd. We should be doing every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we're saved to serve. We're saved to serve the good shepherd. Psalm 79:13, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. I want to encourage you to serve the Lord who leads you tonight. And let the Lord lead you. Don't let just Jesus be your Savior and then do your own thing, but let the Lord Jesus lead you and every age, get into his book, the Bible. Let him speak to you. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Let him order your steps in his word. That's how he shepherds us, by the word of God and by pastors and church leaders and elders and so on and so forth. That's how he shepherds us. But let the Lord not just save you, but let him lead you. Don't do your own thing or you'll be a wreck before you know it. He can guide you even unto death. What a promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for your blessing now upon the Word of God. We thank you for this picture. We thank you how the Bible is so filled with portrayals of God in different ways. But this one is so precious to us tonight, because when we think of shepherds, we think of somebody there to comfort us, somebody to gently lead us, somebody to take us to food, to take us to water, somebody with a crook in his hand and a spear to beat off the enemy so he fights our battles for us. And Lord, we know that those sheep who are the closest to the shepherd are the safest. And Lord, I pray everyone here tonight would examine themselves to see, am I close to Jesus tonight or am I farther away than I used to be? And let us draw nigh unto thee in full assurance of faith tonight. And Lord, for those that are worrying about their future or fearing the future or fretting about it, I pray thou wouldst lead them to repentance tonight. For you will guide us with thy counsel and afterward receive us to glory. And you will be our guide even unto death. Till the day we take our last breath, you will be there to guide us, to show us what to do. Another verse says, you'll never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you're not a hireling. Humans will let us down, but you won't. Help us to just worship you tonight, the good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.